You want it on this one?
On this one?
This I'll take back, this little papier. So we're going to start today where we left off yesterday, in a sense, with a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Hey Amid Beis. Daf Hey Amid Beis. So you'll remember this Gemara because you were here yesterday, so you'll know what I'm talking about. And there's a Brisa which is quoted by Rav Yosef that darshins the pasuk in Esther Perek Tes, which describes the day of Purim under three different descriptions. It's called Simcha, Mishta, and Yontif. And each one of these three words or terms is going to be interpreted as generating a different isur, a prohibition on Purim. So it starts with Simcha. Simcha malamit shasurim behesped. Mishta malamit shasurim betainis. And then Yontif malamit shasurim bemalacha, which, as we discussed at great length yesterday, the people ultimately refused to call Purim a Yontif, and they did not accept the Isur Malach. But as far as the Isur Hesped and Tainus is concerned, that they accepted. Now the question that we're going to focus on is the following question. If there's a mitzvah of Simcha, because it says Simcha, then the opposite of Simcha is Tainus. And in fact, on any day, let's say Yontif, for example, that has a mitzvah of Simcha, automatically is an Isur Tainus.
You don't need a special limud for that.
And yet the Gemara has a special limud, because in addition to the Isur Hesped, the Gemara needs another pasuk, which is called Mishteh, to derive and establish the Isur Tainus. Why do I need Mishteh? Why not simply derive it from the word Simcha? In other words, if Simcha excludes Hesped, it should also exclude Tainus. And the reason it excludes Tainus is because any day that's invested with the mitzvah of Simcha, by definition, is Asur B'Tainus. So we don't fast on a Yontif. So in the language here of the Gevuras Yitzchak, he writes, and you'll see this on the bottom right column, Tzarech in lama leilu melech liyisu Tainus mihadich siv mishteh, tepek le mihadich siv Simcha. In other words, by the same token that you derive an Isur Hesped from Simcha, you should derive an Isur Tainus from Simcha. And in fact, Hesped and Tainus always goes together. It's like one indivisible unit. And that unit is a double Isur of Hesped and Tainus that is always applicable when there's a mitzvah of Simcha. So for example, if we open up the Rambam Tilchus Yontif, which is Perek Vav Halacha Yud Tes, and the Rambam defines the mitzvah of Simcha, he immediately tells us that all the days of Simcha, he delineates them, are all Asurim Behesped Vitainus. Why? Because this is a day of Simcha, and Simcha excludes Hesped Vitainus. So paradoxically, our Brisa here in Megillah Daf Hei Amid Beis, quoted by Rav Yosef, needs one Pasuk to exclude Hesped, another Pasuk, another word, to exclude Tainus. The first word to exclude Hesped is Simcha. That should be enough right then and there. As we saw in the Rambam defining Simcha's Yontif, that Simcha and Yontif prohibits you both in Hesped and in Tainus.
That's what the Rambam says?
That's what the Rambam says.
Yeah.
I'll read to you the language of the Rambam. You'll see it on the bottom left. He says, Shiva Simea Pesach, Ushmona Simea Chag. Now, when he says Shmona Simea Chag, he's referring to Shmini Atzeres as well.
Yeah.
Right? That's why he calls it eight. Im Shar Yomim Tovim, which he is referring now to Shavuos, Kulam Asurim Behesped V'Tainus. Again, this is an inseparable unit that cannot be broken down into two parts. It's Hesped and Tainus. It's almost like a hyphenated word, Hesped Tainus, or a slash. And the Rambam goes on to quote the Pasuk V'Samachta V'Chagecha. So we see clearly, and now we're on the top of page Reish Lamed Hey, that the mashmos, the meaning of the word v'samachta, and the obligation therein, is to generate, at the very least, an Isur Hesped and an Isur Tainus, both together. And therefore in Megillah, where it says that these days are days of Simcha, When I say days, I mean yudalid for the prozim and tesvav for the mukafim. That itself should tell me by definition that there's an Isur Tainus. Why is it that with regard to the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, there's no Isur Tainus? I need to add to the word Simcha a separate word, Mishteh.
Bechagecha. That's the Tanai that you define that day as a Chag. If you don't define it as a Chag, then it doesn't necessarily impact.
Right, so I think what you're pointing out is a very fascinating question, and that is, can we compare Simcha on Yontif to Simcha on Purim? And in the question that we're raising here, there's a naive assumption that Simcha means the same on Yontif that it does on Purim. And if that be the case, then just like on Yontif it means both an Isur Hesped and an Isur Tainus, then by process of mirror imaging, the Simcha of Purim should also imply both an Isur Hesped and an Isur Tainus. And maybe we could say that, you know, Simcha on Yontif is one entity and Simcha on Purim is a different entity. But obviously that needs a little bit more work, you know, we have to... Well, that's because it doesn't say Yontif. I mean, it does say Yontif, but again, Klal Yisrael never accepted Yontif.
Right.
But as far as Simcha is concerned, Pashtus would be that Simcha means an Isur Tainus. Why does the Gemara, Rav Yosef, feel compelled to add the word Mishteh and derive from the extra Mishteh that there's an Isur Tainus? He would not be happy. It wasn't sufficient for him to derive the Isur Tainus from Simcha. Now, what's fascinating about this presentation that we're about to embark upon is that we never get a chance to really define Simcha on Yontif. So we're now putting Purim, in a sense, on the back burners for a moment, and we're learning Hilchos Yontif. And we want to know exactly what V'samachta means on Yontif. What is it? And you know, you and I can say a million answers to this question. You know, it means I have to be in a good mood, we have to be happy, we have to dance, we have to eat kugel, we have to eat meat, we have to drink wine, we have to bring a carbon shlava. I mean, you can give many, many answers to this question. But what we want to know is the answer to the Rambam. And in order to appreciate the Rambam's definition of Simcha, we have to go back to the Gemara itself. This is Sugya Psachim Adaf Samaches. And the sugya presents a very, very famous machlokas. This sugya also appears in Masechta Beitza. So let's see it from the perspective of Masechta Psachim Samaches Amid Beis. The Gemara presents a machlokas here, Tanoim, as to how to interpret or how to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. And the first opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and the second is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says the following: Ein Adam, Ein Lo Li Adam B'Yontif Ella. A man stands. This is the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Sorry, a man stands on Yontif at a crossroads, meaning he has two alternatives. One is Ochel V'Shose, and the other is Yoshev V'Shone. Now again, it doesn't mean that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you opt for Yoshev Vishona, which means he's dedicating his time to Torah study, that it's exclusively Torah study. He's not going to fast and chalish away on Yontif. But what he means is that there's no emphasis on Achil and Shasiyah. The Achil and Shasiyah is one option, but it's not the exclusive option. There's another option of Yoshev Vishona. If you give me another 5 minutes, I'll try to clarify that. So right now, it might not mean anything to you, but we'll flesh it out in just 5 minutes. So hang in there. And Rabbi Yeshua says no. Rabbi Yeshua says it's got to be both. You cannot choose one extreme or the other extreme. You cannot dedicate yourself exclusively to Achil and Shti on Yontif to the exclusion of Yoshev Hashona, or vice versa, but rather Chelkeu. Take the day of Yontif, the 24-hour day of Yontif, and split it into half. Chetzio l'achilu shtia, v'chetzio l'beis ha-medrash. And the Gemara explains that this all depends on one single pasuk in the parasha of Yontif, in Parshas Emor, and that is the word lachem. The question is lachem exclusive? The Torah says lashem and lachem. And what does this mean? Lashem means to dedicate one's time to tefillah and to Torah study. Lachem means lachem lahanoschem, for your enjoyment and your pleasure, meaning afilu shesia. And Rabbi Eliezer says the Torah, by using both lashem and lachem in the context of yontif, is offering you two options. And they don't overlap at all. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, says that it's both. When the Torah uses these two terminologies, it means to integrate both. And therefore, chalkeu chetzi lashem and chetzi lachem. Chetzi lashem means, you know, when the Ramban in his commentary on Parshas Emor goes into great detail about, he gives you a blow by blow, hour by hour description of how you should be spending your yontif. But what it means is that in the morning you get up and you go to shul and you daven, and then at some point you take a break and you eat a suda, then you go back to davening again, at some point you take a break and you eat another suda, and then you start learning. And basically it's an integration of chetzi lachem and chetzi lashem. And that's the shita over there. Oh, now we get to Rav Yosef. The Gemara quotes Rav Yosef there, Psachim Samaches Amid Beis. This is the punchline of today's discussion. Omer Rav Yosef, Hakol Modin Bepurim. There's no machlokas about Purim. Debeinon Nami Lachem. That is a requirement of Lachem. Meaning, you know, a frumer, you know, he's going to dedicate his whole day Purim to davening, to reading the Megillah, to learning Torah. But he's not Yosef. He has not fulfilled his mitzvah of Purim. He may be a very holy, pious person, but he messed up on Purim. Why? Because Rav Yosef says, even according to Rav Eliezer, who has an option on Yontif of Kula Lashem, when it gets to Purim, Be'ina Nami Lachem. At least part of the day, half of the day has to be dedicated to Lachem. How does Rav Yosef know such a thing, my timer? And he answers, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv. Okay, now this is interesting. It sounds like Rav Yosef, if he only had the word simcha, that would not be enough. Why wouldn't that be enough? Because the word simcha appears in yontif as well, and still Rav Eliezer allows you to dedicate yourself kul Hashem. And now Rav Yosef once said that even Rav Eliezer, who allows you on yontif kul Hashem, would agree that on Purim you need chetzi lachem as a bare minimum. So he can't quote the pasuk of simcha, because simcha, according to Rabbi Eliezer, could mean the simcha of spirituality. In other words, you and I are different, right? You like physicality and I like spirituality, or the other way around. So you can have someone, you know, like the rugged shaman. You know, the rugged shaman probably didn't have time for anything but learning. He was in a different world. And for him, simcha means learning. Like Pikudi Hashem Yishar Masam Chelev. So he wanted to study Torah. Now, if you apply that same yardstick to Purim, where it says Simcha, then again Rabbi Eliezer would say, well, my Simcha is if I dedicate myself exclusively to Torah and Tefillah. Oh no, says Rabbi Yosef. There's another word in the Parsha of Purim, and there it says, in Megillah Esther Perek Tes, it says Simcha. Excuse me, it says Mishteh. Ah, Mishteh means that you must have a minimum of Lachem. Okay. Now, let's take a look at the Baal HaMor, and you'll find something very similar to Marsha, that the thrust of Rav Yosef's conclusion is from the word Mishteh. And the Baal HaMor says the following. He says the following, that Rav Yosef's conclusion that Be'ina Lachem cannot be derived from the word simcha. Lo milosh and simcha. Dovi yontif namiksiv a simcha. Umi kol makom, according to Rabbi Eliezer at least, efshal lotze simchas yontif bekulo lashem. Ayinei simchas limud Torah, hamasameches asalem. So we can dedicate the entire day of yontif and fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, according to the Shita, by dedicating our day to Torah study, and we're very happy about the gishmak, the learning of Torah. So therefore, how do we know that Purim is different? You know, you can't quote the word Simcha. And the answer is because it says Mishteh. Now, in my page, I underlined those words, Tiksiv Mishta. Do you have that in your photocopy?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Tiksiv Mishta. So you might want to highlight those two words or put an arrow on the side, because that's really, this Baal Amar really captures the essence of what we want to get to. That Mishta is going to upgrade or change and transform the nature of the mitzvah of Purim from a mitzvah of Simcha, because within the context of Simcha, and if that's all we had, I could apply the principle of Kula Hashem according to Rabbi Elazar and dedicate myself exclusively to the study of Torah. But because the Torah, the Megillah itself, adds another word, namely Mishta teaches me that I have to spend at least half the day in Achila and Shtia. The Gemara there in Psachim comes to the conclusion at the end of the sugya that Mar Bereder Avina Kula Shaita Avi Yosef V'Tanisa. Could you imagine? There was a pious ascetic by the name of Mar Bereder Avina in the Gemara who used to fast the entire year round. Mm-hmm. It probably means he ate at night, because you can't survive without food and drink for more than a couple of days. I think the Gemara in the Dharan says 3 days maximum, whatever it is. So let's assume he did Ramadan the whole year. So at night he used to eat. But he fasted the whole year round. Lebar, there were 2 days during the year where he didn't fast. One is Atzarto, what's that? Shavuos. And the other is Puraya, is Purim. So the Gemara says the following. Puraya, why did he have to eat on Purim? Because he made Mishta v'Simcha Ksiv. And on Atzeres, he had to eat, the Gemara says, because it's Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. Okay, maybe we'll get back to that a little bit later, but Yom Shenitna Bo Torah generates a chiyuv of achila and shesia. Some people enjoy cheesecake, other people enjoy cheese balances, whatever you like to eat on Shavuos, that's what you have to do, because this is the day on which the Torah was given. So the Baal Amar says the following. How do we paskin in this entire issue? He says the very fact that Ravina, or Marv Ravina, would fast the whole year round minus 2 days, meaning which days were included in his fasting?
Yom Tov.
Now the Torah says V'samachta. Well, the answer must be that he held like Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Lezer says that you could be Mekayim V'samachta V'chagecha with Kulul Hashem. Mm-hmm. Which means that you dedicate yourself exclusively to study of Torah. That's exactly what Mar Bereder Ravina did. He was fasting on a Yom Tov, and he used his free day, his free time, because he had a lot of free time. He didn't spend all those hours that we spend on eating and drinking, right? And he spent them learning Torah. Also, that means that he would fast on a Yom Tov, and that could only make sense if you hold like Rabbi Lezer. So therefore, the fact that the Gemara quotes this Noag, this minhag of Mar Bereder of Ravina, must be because the Gemara was passing like Rabbi Eliezer. But the exception is going to be Purim. Again, Atzeres and Purim. So therefore on Purim we must have Chetzi Lachem, and that really reflects the Shita Rabbi Yosef, that even Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you for Kulul Hashem on a regular Yom Tov, would agree that on Purim you've got to have at least Chetzi Lachem, because the Torah calls it a day of Mishteh. Now we go back to our original question. We had Rav Yosef in his Raisa in Megillah Daf Hei Amid Beis, and we were wondering why Rav Yosef had to quote the pasuk. Why he had to quote the pasuk Mishter to derive an Isur Tainis? Why couldn't he derive an Isur Tainis from the pasuk Simcha? And the answer is because Simcha allows you to fast. Why? Because we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, and as far as the word Simcha is concerned, you could be Makayim that Simcha by fasting, and that's exactly what Mar Bereder Ravina did the whole year round, including Yom Tov, and he was Makayim in the midst of Simcha by fasting and learning Torah, because he loved to learn Torah. So if you apply those yardsticks now to Purim, where it says the word Simcha, you would not know that you have to eat and drink on Purim. And that there's an Isur Tainis on Purim, because again, this Mar Bereder Ravina was fasting the entire year round, including Yom Tov. So whenever there's a mitzvah of Simcha, he would be fasting. Oh, except on Purim. Why not on Purim? If you're telling me that V'samachta could be fulfilled by Kulul Hashem and fasting, why can't he fast on Purim? The answer is because there's another word in Megillah that's describing Purim. It's not just what? Simcha, it's also Mishter.
Mishter is Simcha.
And that's where Yosef needs the extra pasuk Mishter to establish that there's zero tolerance for fasting on Purim. The halacha does not recognize the possibility of fasting on Purim. And that's based on the word Mishter. If you only had the word Simcha, then there would be room to tolerate fasting. If fasting will give you the greatest Simcha, and therefore, Afal Gav to be Yontav Yalfida Lisa Tainis Mikrodav Isamachtam. Oh, now we have a problem, because the Gemara derives the Isur Tainis on Yontav from the Samachta. Mishum the Afal Gav Devadi Yeshlumo the Isur Tainis Bepur Mikrodav Simcha Mikomko Alo Be Yontav Kaimel and Krabi Lezer the Yeshlo Chalifin. That you could have an Isur, you could have Tainis on Purim. Again, it's conditional. I'm sorry. You could have Tainis on Yontav. Of course, it's conditional on the fact that your Simcha will be achieved on Yontav. I'm sorry. It's conditional on the fact that your Simcha on Yontav could be achieved by dedicating yourself to Torah study, even though you're fasting. So your fasting is a necessary component in your personal subjective achievement of Simcha. And therefore, your fasting is not a problem. So therefore, let's say a man comes along on Purim and he says, you know what? I'm going to fast on Purim. It says Simcha. The answer is, this is my Simcha. And I'll prove it to you. I fasted all year round, even on Yontif. And when they asked me, how was I fasting on Yontif? It says, V'samachta b'chagecha. My answer was, this is my Simcha. Fasting is my Simcha. Or at least it's a predicate or a medium to achieve my Simcha. So I'm going to do the same thing on Yontif. We're going to tell him, no. Because on Yontif, I can do the same thing on Purim, and we're going to say to him, no, because on Purim there's another pasuk. In addition to the pasuk of what? Mishter of Simcha, there's also a pasuk of Mishter. And now we're going up to the top of the left column. Avol Miha, Dichsiv Mishter, Yalfini de Bepurim, Be'idin Lachem, V'efshar, Lotzeis, Be'kul Hashem, Be'simchas HaTorah. So, Kul Hashem, without eating and drinking, and dedicating myself to Torah and enjoying Torah, that's an option on Yontif. But it's not an option on Purim.
Did you say? Did you ask why he didn't fast on the Atzeres?
Yeah, the Gemara says because since Atzeres is the day in which Torah was given, we must dedicate ourselves at least half the day to Achil and Shaziyah.
So you could actually equate Atzeres with Purim because they're both days of Kimu.
Ah, excellent! That's a brilliant idea. That maybe itself is Kimu v'Kimu, right? But the language of the Gemara is Yom Shem Nitna Bo Torah. It sounds like the Nesina Satorah. Okay, maybe we'll get a chance. Did you ever hear of Rashiv in Chevron called Ramosha Chevroni? He was like the original Rashiva here in Eretz Yisrael of Chevron Yeshiva. So he has a whole shtickl Torah. Why is it that even Rabbi Eliezer would have to agree, says Rabbi Yosef, that on Atzeres you have to eat and drink? I don't know if we have time for that now. Now, one of the commentaries on Masechta Pesachim, and I don't know if him on other Masechtas, is a Talmud of the Ramban by the name of Rabbeinu David. I have a copy somewhere in my library, don't ask me to find it, of Rabbeinu David's Chidushim on Pesachim. But here in the paragraph that starts Vehine, he quotes Rabbeinu David, who paskins again like Rabbi Eliezer, and I'm sorry, who paskins like Rabbi Yeshua, that on every yontif we need chetzilochem. So now he asks himself the following question: well, what are we going to do with Marbrei Ravina who fasted on yontif? So I mean, David says that Marbrei Ravina fits into a unique category. His entire cheshek, his whole gishmak in life, all his simcha was dedicating himself to the study of Torah. That's what's called Nafshal Choshka BaTorah. Did you ever hear that phrase? The Gemara used that phrase in Kiddushin to explain Ben Azai. Ben Azai never got married. And the Gemara says, how could he not get married? So the answer is because Nafshi Choshka BaTorah. He didn't have time for anything in life but Torah study. He would not have made a good husband, even if he married a great tzaddiki. Basically then, it comes out that the way Rabbeinu David explains Marbrei Ravina, that was a kiyum of the mitzvah of Lachem, which is paradoxical, meaning we always understood Lachem is in contrast to Lashem. And therefore, if he was fasting, then it couldn't have been Lachem, it had to be Lashem. No, it was Lachem. And how could it be Lachem? Because his cheshek and his enjoyment in life, you know, as you get enjoyment from eating and drinking, Ravina Mabre, Ravina gets enjoyment from learning Torah. So his Esek Bator brings him Simcha. And therefore, we can paskin that you need Lachem, Chetzi Lachem, on Yontif, and still accept the possibility of fasting in the case of Mabre de Ravina, because that's the way he achieves Simcha. Is the Afogav de Das Rabbi Yeshua Kamel and Kavasi the Simchas Yontif Achilu Shtiyav, and that's a Chovav, and he cannot fulfill himself by dedicating to Limud Torah. That's only as far as 99.99999% of the population, but as far as one individual who's called Misha Nafshal Choshka BaTorah, his Simcha is fulfilled through dedicating himself to Torah, and he gets more Simcha from Torah study than he gets from Achil and Shasim. So you can feed him the best rib steak or lamb chops in the world, and it's sizzling out of the oven, I'm getting hungry, and give him an offer to give up on that and study Torah, he would prefer to study Torah. It's more enjoyable to him than eating a good juicy entrecote steak. I like it medium to well. Therefore, as far as Marbred Rav Ashi is concerned, Marbred Ravina is concerned, he has the Kima Mitzvah of Lachem by enjoying the Torah. And this reminds me, by the way, on the side of the famous introduction of the Iglei Tal of the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe to his work on Hilchos Shabbos, of Halacha Shabbos, where he writes that the Iker of Torah Lishma is the Simcha, is the enjoyment that you get from Torah Lishma. And that's when it goes into your bloodstream and into your spiritual makeup. My father, Zichron Levrach, used to attend Rav Salvechik's shir in Moriah on Tuesday nights, for those who know anything about that. And he once came over to Rav Salvechik after the shir and he said, Rebbe, I'm afraid I'm not going to get any schar for going to your shir because I physically get pleasure from it. And I have no desire to do anything else there. There's opera and the movies and this, that, and the other thing. You talk about Manhattan. I mean, it's the, like, you know, Manhattan is like one of the outposts in on the globe of pleasures. He says, no, I get more. So the Rav said to him, Rabbi Berzon, name, das heist Torah Lishma. This is the highest level of Torah study. When you say that you have such pleasure from Torah study that you're not interested in anything else. So now we have Mar Berei de Ravina, and his lachem on Yontif is by fasting and dedicating himself exclusively to the study of Torah. So in fact, we paskin according to Rabbi David like Rabbi Yeshua, and Mar Berei de Ravashi is not the exception. He also paskins like Rabbi Yeshua. He's also standing on the shoulders of lachem. But where's the lachem? For him, the lachem is Torah study. Now we get to Purim. Even Mar Berei de Ravina would eat on Purim. What happened to his fasting? What happens to his study of Torah? The answer is because on Purim, it says not just Simcha, but it also says Mishteh. And I underline this, Levad miyomu de Purim de lo sagi belo achilu shasi. You can't tell me you get all the pleasure in the world from learning Torah and you're going to fast. No. The Yemei Mishteh Ksiv, because here in the Pasuk it says Mishteh. And that's what we have here in Masechta Megillah Daf Hei Amud Beis that we began with today, that Rav Yosef Spreiser derives the Isur Tainis from Mishteh. Because if not for the word Mishteh, there would not be an Isur Tainis, because the Halacha would recognize the possibility of a Mar Berei de Rav Ashi, as rare as they come, who could fast and still be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Simcha. But in Purim, that wouldn't cut the mustard. Why? Because in Purim, the Torah says not only Simcha, and when I say Torah, I mean the Megillah, not only Simcha, but it also says Mishteh. And once it says Mishteh, this whole category of Misha Chashak, Nafsho, and Torah doesn't exist. It can exist within the context of Simcha. You can attain pure Simcha, even if you're fasting, because you're dedicating yourself to what? To the study of Torah. But when it comes to Purim, where the Torah, Megillah says Mishteh means you've got to get involved in eating and drinking. That's the only lachem which is recognized by the Torah, and that's called Mishteh.
Maybe Mar Berei de Ravina would say if they asked him, why are you fasting, maybe he would say,
on a regular,
I'm not fasting.
Right.
I'm learning.
Right.
In other words, it's not a kiyum in fasting.
Right.
It's learning.
Exactly.
And the fact is that he just filled his time with that, and he was happy doing it.
Then, like I said before, you know, some people, I'm not saying anyone here in the audience fits this category, but probably in a 12-hour day, probably dedicate 3 of those hours to eating and drinking. Like, for example, my mother-in-law, after the war, was in France. And she told me in France, a meal... Mm-hmm. Even in the middle of the day, I mean, they had wine. I mean, nobody got drunk, by the way. You know, this wine was a part of it, but it was a whole to-do. You know, they took a good couple hours. The siesta time was stretched out. And for most of us, it's dinner time at night, you know, and then Baruch Hashem, our wives, you know, they have so much food, or you go out to eat, there's so many restaurants, and so on. Before you know it, the whole day is gone with Achil and Shasiyah. Comes along Marbarev Rashi, he says, take your food and eat it yourself, but don't invite me because I'm interested in staying in the base vintage, and I'm not even going to waste a minute of my time eating and drinking. I'll eat at night just to keep myself going. It sounds like Rav Steinemann Zichron Lebracha. They say he didn't eat anything, he had these capsules. Did you ever hear about this? You went into his freezer or his fridge and you saw capsules, and the doctors would tell him exactly what that capsule had to contain in order to keep him alive. He died, I think, at the age of 104 or something like that. He never ate. He never drank. You know, all the pleasures of life, he wasn't interested. He was what you call a porish. And all he needed was that one capsule a day. Well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know all the details, so don't quote me, but maybe it was 2 capsules a day, whatever it is. So we're doing away with food. Now, you and I would say, don't do away with food. It's too pleasurable. I mean, this is what life is all about. We want to enjoy our eating and our drinking. So that's what you say before. That it's not that it's not lachem. This is my lachem. But on Purim, separate halacha, bezunder halacha, the requirement is mishteh, which tells me that even my Bered Ravina has to eat on Purim. And he can't say, well, this is my lachem, because here the Torah requires mishteh. And mishteh engenders an iser tainus on Purim. Okay. Now, we get to an analysis of the night of Purim. Why? Because if you're quoting the pasuk Mishteh, then when do we fulfill the mitzvah of Mishteh? I'll give you 3 choices. Choice number 1 is both at night and in the day. Choice number 2 is only at night. And choice number 3 is only during the day. Only during the day. See, even though, as I told you yesterday, my wife prepared a great punch, you know, for the guys in yeshiva at night, but that's not the mitzvah of Mishnah. The mitzvah of Mishnah is postponed until the morning. And how do I know this? Because the Gemara Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Omar Rava, Suhudas Purim She'achal B'Layla, Lo Yatzi Yidei Chovasam. My timer, Yemei Mishnah V'Simcha. So the word Mishnah refers to Yomim. And Yomim means the daylight hours. So as far as Purim is concerned, you got to wait till the morning if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishteh. And therefore some Rishonim say the Iker mitzvah of Purim is by day, not just with regard to Mishteh, but in general. The whole kit and caboodle, even the Megillah reading by day is the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah. And night is a separate entity, that we read the Megillah at night because of the drush of Rabbi Shuv ben Levi on Daf Dalet. So now we have a kasha from the Shagasari. He has to find Koshali. Ela me'ata hodidar shinan li el simcha malami chosuba hespeid mishta malami chosuba tainis hokinami b'leil purim mutter hespeid. He says, shall we come to the conclusion that since it says yimei mishta v'simcha, it means whatever halachas I derive from this pasuk is only yamin, because it says yimei. Underline that word yimei. Which means that at night we can have both a hespeid and we can have tainus, which is very interesting because, especially here in Yerushalayim, and there are other places on the face of the Israeli map where they bury you at night. I don't know, Chutzlar Tanya, I've never seen it. I think it's against the law, maybe, in most countries. They bury at night. So, in any event, here in Israel, it's classic. I mean, my father, may he rest in peace, was buried, I think it was at 1 a.m., if I'm not mistaken, on Har Menuchos. And I remember Rav Parnas, those who know Rav Parnas from Queens, New York, from his teaching in Queens, New York. He's actually from Borough Park in Brooklyn. But when his father died, I remember the Talmidim of Rav Parnas had a whole, you know, a chain of telephone calls because we were waiting for the body to come through El Al and land in Ben Gurion Airport. And that funeral of Rav Parnas' father took place also in the middle of the night. There's also up north, right near Haifa, did you ever hear the Kiryot?
Sure.
So Kiryat Atta. In Kiryat Atta also, they have Minyan Yerushalayim, they'll bury you in the middle of the night. I myself was participating in a Levaya, and it was way, way past the Tzeisak Kochav. It was closer to midnight. And there's no one here from Cleveland, is there? There's a famous family in Cleveland called the Flank family. So the grandfather was buried in Kiryat Atta in the middle, you know, late in the night. Anyway, so now it comes out like this. We're burying someone on the night of Purim. Night of Purim, it's Purim, and yet we're burying someone. We have to bury them. We can't wait till the next morning. In Yerushalayim, they don't tolerate leaving the body overnight, in most cases. What about Hesped? Can we get together and have a eulogy? Says the Shagas Aryeh, logically, again, this is not true, but logically, it should be okay. It should be allowed because you may mishteh v'simcha, and from the word I'll get to the word Yemei in a second, but from the word Simcha, we're going to derive an Isur Hesped. Oh, so there's an Isur Hesped on Purim. But when is it? Yemei. Only Yemei. Just like the word Mishteh is only going to be fulfilled by day, so to the word Simcha, which generates an according to Tani Rabbi Yosef, generates an Isur Hesped, should only be by day. So are we going to allow Hesped at night? So the Shagas Aryeh has a problem with that. We know that that's not so. So he answers the following: Kol de tikun rabbanon v'chein divrei kabbalah ke'ein do raisa tikun. Are you familiar with this concept? So when the rabbanon creates something, they mirror image a do raisa. And in this case, it's divrei kabbalah. But nevertheless, divrei kabbalah, despite its very high, you know, echelon on the totem pole, but nevertheless, it's also an imitation of a doraisa. The exception to this rule, by the way, I'm just pontificating out loud to myself, is chalas chutzlaretz. Chalas chutzlaretz has a whole new set of regulations, and it you know, we don't apply the principle called the tikkun. I don't know why, but even for that, you have to know Beit Zadav Tes, the sugi of chalas chutzlaretz. There's one day in Trumas Yerokos that also you can be Mafra Shalom in Amukav, which is against all the rules of Afrashas Truma, because Yerokos is only Drabbanon. But generally speaking, all the requirements of a Doraisa apply to a Drabbanon, because a Drabbanon is just an extended application of a Doraisa. Again, if you learn the third Berakah Sukkah, it really gets complicated, because the mitzvah of Netilas Sulav is only on the first day, according to the Torah, and we extend it for 7 days, and yet you'll find many kulas and many requirements that apply in the first day of Sukkot that don't apply in the other days of Sukkot. So again, so this principle called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Ke'ein D'oraisa, the Tikkun has its exceptions. But if we apply, says the Shagas Aryeh, that principle here to Purim, specifically with regard to the Simcha of Purim, so let's equate Simcha on Purim with Simcha on Yontif. Although the former is the Rabbanan and the latter is the Oraisa, but called the Tikkun. And therefore, just like on Yontif, the mitzvah of Simcha incorporates the Laila as well, so that on Leil Yontif there's no heter of Hesped or Tainis, so too, by virtue of this principle called the Tikkun, we're going to apply the rules and the requirements of Simcha to Purim. And if we graft the requirement of Simcha from Yontif to the requirement of Simcha bin Rabbanon on Purim, then it's going to include the night as well. In Le'inyan Shabbos v'Yontif, Leilo Kiyomo. There's no difference in the status of the night of Yontif and the status in the day of Yontif. So the mitzvah of Simcha encompasses both Laila and Yom. In fact, let's assume that you have to eat a Suda on Yontif, then you could eat that Suda on Leil Yontif. In the case of Pesach and Sukkot, in those cases, Leil Yontif requires Suda for a different reason, because the mitzvah of Matzah or the mitzvah of Sukkah. But But as far as the mitzvah of simcha, of being koveh se'uda, that could be fulfilled at night. So, for example, according to those poskim who say that on Yom Tov you require two sudas daily, and some go even as far as to say that on Chol HaMoed you require two sudas daily. Now imagine setting up two sudas on Chol HaMoed. You know, most of us are very involved on Chol HaMoed. We have a lot of different things that we want to do. And not all of them are in the home or in the sukkah. So how are you going to fit in two seudos? Yeah, so some people, you know, they'll wash on breakfast in the morning. But, you know, you're in a rush. So the answer is at night you should have a seuda. If you hold that you need two seudos on. Because the night is part of the day as far as Simchas Yontif. So now, if we extrapolate that to Simcha Derabbanan on Purim with the principle of Kol D'Tikun Rabbanan, then there's going to be an Iser Hespet and Tainis and a mitzvah of simcha even at night. But again, the question is, can we go as far as to say mishta? No. Here the Torah says, the Megillah says, you may mishta. So that's going to, yom v'lalai is going to be an absolute requirement as far as the mitzvah of simcha. As far as the Isur Hespi V'tainis is concerned, we're going to incorporate, we'd include the Laila of Purim with, together with the day of Purim because of this equation to Simchas Yontif. Now, for this, in order to analyze this, we have to study a sugya in the fourth parak of Sukkah, which is on Daf Memches, and you'll see this on the flip side on page Resh Lamed Vav. And the sugya there in Sukkah Memches says the following, that there's a difference regarding the status of Leil Yontif, which is called Leil Rishon, there's a difference between Simcha, as I'll explain in a minute, in the positive sense, and Simcha generating an Iser in the negative sense. And what that means is that as far as Hespe Vitainis is concerned, and this is the breakthrough here of the Shagas Aryeh, there's no difference between Leil Yontif Rishon and the day of Yontif Rishon. And that's going to be transposed and extended, grafted onto Purim. So again, even though Simcha is as a positive command, which in the language of the Shagas Aryeh is called Kuva Asei, the Yom is the generator of that Kuva Asei, and Laila is excluded from that Kuva Asei. So as far as Simcha B'Torah's Kuva Asei is concerned, says the Shagas Aryeh, that's not Noheges on Leil Purim. And the reason for that is because even on Yontif, as far as the Torah law is concerned, the positive Kuva Asei of Simcha, which means to set up a Suda, does not apply on Leil Rishon Shel Yontif. What does apply on Leil Rishon Shel Yontif, when we say Leilo Kiyomo, is the Losase, is the Isur, or the Sheve Altase of Hespe Vitainis. And if that be the case, then what the Shagas Aryeh is basically saying is that we can take the Doraisa status of Leil Yontif and superimpose it on the status of Leil Purim. In Leil Yontif, the Shagas Aryeh makes the fundamental distinction between the Kuva Asei of Simcha as opposed to the Shevi Al Tes of the Isur Tahespe V'Tainis. And he maintains that although on Leil Yontif Rishon there's no Chiv V'Kuva Asei of a Suda, but there's an Isur Hespe V'Tainis, and the same exact structure applies to Leil Purim. And therefore, Leil Purim, there's an Iser Hespe V'Tainis by virtue of our equation of Kol D'Tikun Rabbanan, but there's no Chiv Suud and Mishter on Leil Purim. So that's what he says here in the next paragraph that starts with the words V'hine Mashikos V'Aturi Evin. And he says the following. There's a sugyan moed katan on Daf Yudalit, and the Gemara wants to know, in a head-on collision between Avelus and Yontif, which wins out? which is greater, which trumps which. So the Gemara says that Avelus is a minog, I'm sorry, is a mitzvah di yachid, it's only an individual obligation, where Simchas Yontif is an asei derabin. And an asei derabin, which means that the entire community is obligated in Simchas Yontif, trumps a mitzvah on the yachid of Avelus. And that would mean that if the Avel is sitting Shiva, now he reaches the day of Yontif, his Avelus is terminated for the sake of the greater mitzvah of Simcha, and so far Simcha is an Asei Derabin. So the Shages Aryeh, in Simon Samaches, commenting on this Gemara Moikot Yudalid, asks the following question. We have many Rishonim, the Rif and the Gaonim, and others who maintain that Avelus Yom Rishon is Doraisa. The first day of Avelus of the 7 days is Doraisa. Now, if you're dealing with the Doraisa, then with all due respect to Simchas Yontif, how could it be that Simchas Yontif would be Doche a mitzvah of Avelus Shel Torah on the first day of Yontif? I mean, on the first day of Avelus. That's the kasha of the Shages Aryeh. And he says the following, that the Rif and the Gaonim hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is Minat Torah. The Rif writes in the end of the second parak of Brachos, which is Misha Mesa Mutalfam, he says that the Gemara Marikotin could only be understood if you hold, like that Mandiyama, that Avelus Yom Rishon Tofes Lelo Imo Minat Torah. Vahainu shemes bi erev yontif, v'leil yom ha-misa v'leil rishon shal yontif, and we're dealing with a mitzvah d'orais of Avelus. V'afilu hochi koma di'osei esei disimchas ha-regel v'dochi li'esei d'Avelus. He says, why? Amai harei leil yontif ha-rishon nismayit misimcha. We just finished saying in the previous paragraph that according to the Shages Aryeh, the Doraisa of Mitzvah of Simcha as a kumva say only applies to the day of Yontif, but not to the night of Yontif. The night of Yontif, all we have is an Iser Hespeid V'tainis. So that, why is it that the status of Yontif has the ability to trump the Iser of Avelus, or the Mitzvah of Avelus? How could that be? In Leil Yontif, there's no mitzvah of simcha in a kumvaseh. So the fact that the Avel on the first night of Yontif is going to abstain from hesped and tainis, that doesn't in any way undermine the mitzvah of simcha. Why are you telling me that there's a head-on collision between Avelus and simcha? And the Shages Aryeh says that this idea that Yontif is going to trump Avelus is only, according to the Rif, is only sensible if you assume that Simcha's Yontif. Simcha's Yontif is Doraisa. And then it could trump, as an essay derab, it could trump the mitzvah say Doraisa of Avelus as a mitzvah diyachim, but that doesn't make any sense because there is no positive mitzvah on Leil Yontif to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha in a positive way. So here he quotes Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says the following. Hodin is mait leil yontif rishon misimcha, hainu dafka simchas shalmei simcha. So we're going to have a lot to talk about here. Reb Chaim holds that when you bring a korban, if it's a korban shlamim, there's a mitzvah to eat the basar, and that mitzvah to eat the basar on yontif is a kiyum of the mitzvah of v'samachta bechagecha. And he says the following. Let's say he brought that shlamim on erev yontif, and now at night he wants to eat the basar. He says that's not a kiyum of Simchas Yontif because the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif only starts with the day. And he says, "Kevan she'ein simcha lefanav, eino mechuyav lizbach bi'erev Yontif shalmei simcha k'dei le'ochel mismotam b'alayla." So as far as the exclusion of Leil Yontif from Simcha, that's only with regard to Kodshim, with regard to Achilas Basar Shlamim. You don't have to set up an Achilas Basa Shlomim on Leil Yontif. You don't have to shecht a karbon on Erev Yontif in such a way that you'll eat the Basa of the Shlomim on Leil Yontif. However, There's something called Shar Minei Simcha, and that's going to be the subject of our next piece here on Reish Lamed Zayin. That applies even on Leil Yontif. Now that's against the Shagas Aryeh, because the Shagas Aryeh says that there's no kiyum in a positive sense b'kumvase of Simcha on Leil Yontif. Rav Chaim understood that there is a kiyum of an obligation of Simchas Yontif Leilo Kiyomo, even in the positive sense. The only thing we're going to exclude is the mitzvah of Achilas Basar Shlomim. But Shar Mini Simchas, according to Rav Chaim, are d'oraisa, even on Leil Yontif Rishon, and the exclusion is only as far as Kodshim, as we said before. According to Reb Chaim, we now have an answer to the Shagasari's kasha. The Shagasari was asking, why is it that his Avelus is completely trumped by Yontif, insofar as Avelus is Yochid and Yontif is the Rabin? Well, that doesn't make any sense, because there's no mitzvah of Simchas Yontif at night. According to Reb Chaim, there is a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif at night. So now let's go back to Purim. What was the Shagas Aryeh's premise that on Purim there's no positive mitzvah of Simcha at night, because it's going to be mirror imaged in the image of Simchas Yontif, and there's no mitzvah of Simcha at night. So Simchas Purim has to be postponed until the morning, and therefore what you're left with at night is only an Iser Hesbivitainis Dugmas Kidugmas Yontif Leil Yom Rishon Shal Yontif. But now it comes out, according to Reb Chaim, it's impossible to say such a thing, because the positive mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif applies even at night, as far as Shar Simchas, where the only exception to that rule is Shlomim. So he tries to answer this on the left column here, on the third line, Vinira. He says, Vinira, de be'emes leil purim lo nismait mi simcha mi mitzvah simcha, ukemo biyontif sha'asu be'esvi v'tayis b'layla v'noig mitzvah simcha b'layla, according to Reb Chaim. And what does Mishta mean? I have to set up a special Sa'uda. That cannot be fulfilled at night. That has to be postponed until the morning. And since it says Yimei Mishta, it's only by day and not at night. Lachen Sudas Purim, Davi Chovas Mishta, Eina Yotze Ba Yidei Chovas Balayla. But as far as all other aspects of Simcha, forget about Mishta, those aspects will apply even on Leil Purim. Again, the Suda has to be postponed to the morning, but the Simcha is even at night, yeah?
It says Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. So the
right.
Mishta and Simcha go together on Yimei.
Right. Did you see my note on the side?
Yeah,
I don't know if it comes out. I wrote it in pencil. I don't know. It probably doesn't come out. Just give me 1 second. I want to just concentrate here. So again, the word Mishta is going to generate an Iser Tainus. Correct? An Iser Tainus. And that's going to apply even Balayla. Oh, but now we don't make the next jump, the next leap of faith, and say that Suda could also be Noig Balayla, because although Mishta generate here. So here's the question. I'm formulating your question in a different word. The word Mishta is now going to be interpreted in terms of the Suda as Yimei Mishta, and it's going to be postponed until the morning. And yet the same word Mishta is the source from which Rav Yosef derives the Iser Tainus. So now, how can you split between the two and say the Iser Tainus applies even on the night of Purim, and yet the Suda, which is also derived from the word Mishta, is going to be postponed until the day? How can one Pasuk, Mishta, split and teach me two things, one of which will be Mekuyim Balayla, that's called the Iser Tainus, and the other is postponed, meaning the Suda element is postponed until the morning? Yes? Everybody follow? Again, there's one word in the Megillah. It says Mishteh. Now, Rav Yosef derives from Mishteh the Isotainis. I mean, that was the whole thrust of our article today, our essay. Now we're saying that as far as Seudah's perm is concerned, that has to be postponed until the day, because it says Yemei Mishteh. But that same word Mishteh is the source for the Isotainis, and we're saying the Isotainis is knowing even at night. Yeah, Lenny? Did you want to answer something?
I was thinking, that's actually a side question. Are we equating the Simchas Yom Tov to the Simchas Purim?
Yeah, and we're saying the following, that on Leil Yom Tov, according to Reb Chaim, we have a full-fledged mitzvah of Simcha.
Right.
Correct? Right. And that means, according to Reb Chaim, it's going to generate not only an Isur Titus, but also a mitzvah of Suda. And if I fulfill my mitzvah of Suda at night, the Gemara says that Laila is different. That's only with regard to Shlomo. That's Reb Chaim's sheet. So now, if we take that as our image, and we now equate Purim with Yontif, then Leil Purim should be an appropriate time for fulfilling the mitzvah of Suda, because the whole simcha that applies on Leil Yontif should apply now on Leil Purim. So the answer he's giving is that since it says Yemei Mishteh, and the separate mitzvah of Suda's Purim is derived from the word Mishteh, then Yemei Mishteh tells me that the Suda's Purim has to be postponed to the next day. As far as all other dimensions of simcha, that's going to apply to Leil Purim just like it applies to Leil Yontif. The only exception is going to be the halacha of Suda's Purim, which has to be postponed until the morning because the halacha of the pasuk that says Yemei Mishteh. We're asking, but Yemei Mishteh here is also the source for the Isur Hespe Matinus. So how can the word Mishteh, as far as Isur Hespe Matinus is concerned, apply even at night? And yet, the same word Mishteh, with regard to Suda's Purim, is going to be postponed till the day. You're deriving from Mishteh two things, the Isur Tainis and the Chi of Suda. And then you're telling me that the Isur Tainis applies even at night, and when the Torah says Mishteh, it means even at night. And then you're telling me that Suda's Purim, also derived from the word Mishteh, is postponed until the day. How can you derive two things from the same pasuk? One is Chal at night, the other is Chal during the day. It seems like those are two fundamentally different halachas that derive both from the word Mishteh. So what I wrote to myself a note here on the side is that if you look into Megillas Esther carefully, you'll see there are two different psukim that say Mishteh in it. And it could be that these two psukim are two different sources for two different halachas. When it says Yemei Simcha u'Mishteh, that's talking about Suda's Purim. And that, there it says Yamim. But there's another pasuk that says Mishteh, and it doesn't say Yamim at all. And that pasuk of Mishteh is going to be linked up and integrated with Simcha to generate an Isur Tainis, and that applies even at night because there's no qualification of Yamim.
Does that appear beforehand?
Now, if you happen to have a Megillas Esther, I could show you these two psukim inside. Do we have a copy of Megillas Esther here? It's probably in where's that Chumash that has all Chamisha Chumashay Torah on? It was right here on the tip. Anyway, I didn't want to bother you. We had the Chumash here. It's probably
here. It is.
Oh, this one, does this have, I don't know, I was talking about
that's from Megillas.
Yes, so can you open up?
Yeah.
If you can open up to so the ninth parak of Megillah, you should see the word Mishteh twice. I thought I wrote exactly where it is. Okay, hopefully you'll find it, and I'm not misleading you. There'll be one pasuk that says Yemei Mishteh, and there'll be another pasuk that says Mishteh without the word Yemei. Anyway, let's go on. I don't want to waste your time. You'll have to trust me on this, because again, we're
Yom Mishteh Simcha. That's one. Ah, Yom Mishteh V'Simcha, and the other one is the Aso Oto Yom Mishteh V'Simcha.
And then it should say Yemei. So Rava in the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Beis excludes Laila because of Yemei, because the plural form of the word Yemei appears also in Yontif, and there we derive an exclusion of Laila. But then there are other psukim that mention Mishteh, and it doesn't say the word Yemei.
Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha, right?
Right. That's the one that Rava quotes in Masechta Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis,
and that's the one that has Mishloach Manot and Matanot Levyanim, whereas the other one only has Mishloach Manot and not Matanot Levyanim.
Oh, so I don't know. That
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know. That's confusing to me. Okay. I thought both Mishloach Manot and Matanot Levyanim go together with Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha. Are you sure?
Yes.
There's another mention
somewhere in here where it only says Mishloach Manot, and it doesn't say Matanot Levyanim.
But that I don't know. But isn't there a pasuk that says Yom Simcha Mishteh?
It says it's two pasukim that Yom Mishteh V'Simcha.
Oh, and now there's no mention of Mishloach Manot. That's because that pasuk is referring to the mitzvah of simcha as a general mitzvah that generates an Iser Hesped V'Tainus. That pasuk is not referring to the Suda. The pasuk that's referring to the Suda says Yemei Simcha Mishteh. Okay, I don't want to get. I apologize. I don't want to get caught up with that because we have a gigantic amount of material that I want to cover on the agenda for today. In any event, going on to the pasuk, to the paragraph that starts with Nira, he says there's an Iser Hespe V'Tainus on Purim that's derived from the pasuk Mishteh. And what does that teach me? That although I'm allowed to fast, if I fit to the into the category of Marbere Dravina on a Yontif, but when it comes to Simchas Purim, because the Torah, the Tanakh says Mishteh, therefore he doesn't have the option, as we saw in Rabbeinu David, to fast on Purim. In other words, on Purim there's a separate din, a requirement of Mishteh, and that generates an Isur Tainus. And even for a person who thinks that he can fulfill his lachem by fasting and dedicating himself to Torah, he still is enjoined from Tainus because of the special requirement of Mishteh, above and beyond the requirement of Simcha. Now, when is this applicable? So he says, Nira Dizel Gak by Yom Purim. And as if we're deriving this special, unique chiyuv of Mishteh that completely excludes the possibility of Tainus, that's only B'yom Purim, or B'leil Purim, the Les Bechi of Mishteh Miyuchad Shel Purim, the Yemei Mishteh Ksiv, and there's a Pasuk Yemei Mishteh, which means Yom V'lo Leilo, so at night there's no separate mitzvah of Mishteh, of Suda, but all that we have here is a general reflection of the Chi of Simcha that applies on every Yontif. Is therefore, even though on every Yontif there's an Iser Hespe V'Tainus at night, but there's no mitzvah of Seuda, or even if there is a mitzvah of Seuda, that doesn't undermine the special mitzvah of Simcha of Mishteh on Purim, and that special mitzvah of Mishteh on Purim is fulfilled by day. Okay. Now, Rabosa, I'd like to fast forward to Siman Yud Beis. You have page Reish Lamed Zayin?
Yes.
Okay. This I find very, very fascinating. Now, I only got as far as Reish Mem Aleph, but you may have even as far as Reish Mem Beis. Yeah? I'm not going to be able to go beyond Reish Mem Aleph if I'll get to that. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Tafresh Sadihei that you're required to add Alanisim in Birkas Hamazon in the second bracha on Purim. What happens if he forgets Alanisim? So here we have a machlokas between the Marshal and the Mogen Avraham. The Marshal holds that if you omitted alanisim in benching on Purim, you're going to have to repeat Birkas Hamazon. Why? Because he's chayav to eat a sud on Purim. And in that, from that perspective, just like on Shabbos, if you omitted Ritzei in benching, or on Yom Tov, if you omitted Yal V'Yavo in benching, because these 2 days require Seuda, so to Purim requires a Seuda. And to the extent to which Purim requires a Seuda, then if you omit Al Anisim in benching, you're going to have to repeat benching. And in that sense, what we're saying is that Purim, like Shabbos and Yom Tov, requires a kviyas suda v'pas. So in other words, it's not just that Purim generates an iser tainis, but is also a positive mitzvah of seuda. And he says the following, that paradoxically, Purim, as far as the iser tainis is concerned, is more stringent than Yom Tov and Shabbos. And where does that cut ice? In a case of a person who had a bad dream and he wants to fast the Tainis Chalom, he's allowed to do so on Shabbos, he's allowed to do so on Yom Tov, but he's not allowed to do so on Purim. And that's what we saw in the Gemara in Pesachim, just in the previous Sima, we saw Mar Berei D'Ravina, he would fast the whole year round with the exception of Purim. Why? Because on Purim, even something like a tainis chalom is completely excluded. There's a separate mitzvah of eating a sud on Purim, a mitzvah to itself. And in the case of sudas Shabbos and Yom Tov, there the sudas is a means, a medium to an end, to achieve simcha. And if he says, I achieve simcha, I had a bad dream, I want to achieve my state of simcha by fasting, then we're allowed to do so. But in the case of Purim, which is a day of Mishteh, that's irrelevant to Simcha, like we discussed earlier. Mishteh is a separate, independent chiyuv of Purim, and it's not Simcha. So you can't say, well, I'll be Makayim my Simcha by fasting because of the bad dream I have. No, the Torah requires Mishteh. All this is according to the Marshal. And then Magen Avraham disagrees, and he says, Lo matzinu shechayev lechol pas b'Purim. He checked, he had a word search in Bar Ilan, wherever he did, and he came to the conclusion that nowhere does it ever say that you have to be Koveh Suda on Pas, on Purim. All that the halacha requires on Purim is Achilas Basar and Shasias Yayin. And therefore, Magen Avraham comes to the conclusion that if someone forgot Al Anisim in benching on Purim, Ein Machzir Noso. What is bothering the Magen Avraham? Why does he assume that there's no Chiyuv Seuda on Purim? On the contrary, the Marshal says the Chiyuv Seuda on Purim is even greater than it is on Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov we allow for the permission for a Tainis Chalom. On Purim we don't allow for Tainis Chalom. You see that the Halacha of Seuda is even more demanding on Purim than it is on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Shabbos and Yom Tov has a heter of Tainis Chalom, whereas Purim doesn't. So to maintain like the Magen Avraham, that lo matzinu shechayev lechol pas v'purim, l'chor pashtus is a kal v'chomer, if on Yom Tov you chayev to eat a pas, and the Magen Avraham doesn't question that premise, then how much more so on Purim you have to eat a pas? Because Purim is even greater than Yom Tov. Haraya, that a tainis chalom which is excluded on Purim is mutter, is permissible on Yom Tov. Further than that, he wants to understand what is the machlokas here between the Marshal and the Magen Avraham. Now, is it true that we have to eat a pas on Yom Tov? So that's a rush in the Sefta Brachas at the end of the seventh parak. Okay. So the most important part of this page here, as far as the Rosh is concerned, is that the Rosh establishes that you have to eat a pas on Yom Tov because of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. Rabbi Kivei has a gigantic chiddush, and he insists that the Rosh only applies, he only established this chiyuv with regard to the men folk, but not with regard to the lady folk. And the reason for that is because the ladies are not chayev in the mitzvah of oneg. They have the mitzvah of zocher es yom haShabbos lekadsho, because women were equated with men as far as kiddush is concerned. But as far as suda is concerned, which is a derivation from oneg, that's a classical case of a time-bound mitzvah. Mitzvah seish hazman groma. We don't find any hekesh that equates women to men with regard to simcha. And therefore, women do not have a chiyuv of achilas pas. So again, when I say simcha, I'm talking about yontif. I say oneg, I'm talking about Shabbos. But the same principle applies to both. Namely, that these mitzvos of oneg on Shabbos and simcha on yontif are mitzvos asei shazman groma, and women are exempt. So what would be, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if a woman on yontif benched and she left out yalav v'yavo? Would she repeat benching? No, because there's no chiyuv suda as far as a woman is concerned on yontif. And the reason why there's no chiyuv suda on yontif is because of mitzvah haseh shazman groma. We say the kol sheyeshno b'shomer yeshno b'zocher. That's why a woman is chayav in kiddush. That's only because of shomer and zachar, but has nothing to do with oneg and has nothing to do with simcha. So the equation of women to men as far as Shabbos and Yontif is concerned is only vis-a-vis kiddush, but not vis-a-vis the other aspects of simcha and oneg. And if I'm not mistaken, halacha lemaisa, if a woman forgets yalav v'yavo in benching on yontif, we don't demand that she repeat benching. We rely on this from the kibbeger that women are not obligated in suda. So again, we're going to tell the women to eat suda on yontif, just like we'll tell the men to eat suda on yontif. But we have to keep in the back of our minds, this from the kibbeger, that women are not obligated in suda on yontif. When the Rosh says at the end of the third parak of Brachos that we're obligated to set up a suda on yontif, he's talking to the men folk. He's not talking to the women folk. And the reason for that is because as far as the men folk is concerned, it doesn't matter whether it's man groma or not man groma, whereas as far as the noshim are concerned, if it's man groma, they're exempt.
The chachil, she should say.
The chachil, I think the minig is to be machmir, like those who disagree with Rabbi Kivega, require a suda even for women. But don't tell the women this, that they might not even be obligated in the midst of suda on yontif, because of this Rabbi Kivega's logic that it's not included in the hekesh between shomer and zochar. Now let's try to get a definition of the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, and I think we've seen this Rambam in the past. That's Perek Vav Milchus Yontem Alocha Tez Zayin, in the middle of this right paragraph, and he writes, Kishem Shemitzvah L'chabed Shabbos Uli Anga Kach Kol Yomim Tovim. Every Yontif has a mitzvah of Kibud and Oneg, Shenemar L'kdosh Hashem Mechubad. And he says the following, V'chol Yomim Tovim Nemar Behem Mikra Kodesh. That's the Rambam in Halacha Tes Zayin. If you fast forward to Halacha Yud Zayin, he writes Shiva Simei HaPesach Ushmona Simei HaChag Im Shar Yomim Tovim. We read this earlier. Kulam Asur Behesped V'Tainis V'Chayev Onam Lios Behem Sameach V'Tovle. So that's the quote from the Rambam. Now it's very interesting. The Rambam seems to differentiate between kavod v'oneg and simcha, because in Halacha Tes Zayin he addressed himself exclusively to kavod v'oneg, whereas when you fast forward to Halacha Yud Zayin, then he introduces the question about simcha. V'chayev adam lios behem sameach v'tov leiv. Now this addition of chayev lios behem sameach v'tov leiv does not appear in Halacha Tes Zayin, because in Halacha Tes Zayin, the Rambam is specifically talking about kavod v'oneg. Now, is there a nafkamina here between kavod v'oneg on the one hand and simcha on the other hand?
where does Simcha come into to Shabbat? The Samachta is Bechagecha.
Correct. And that's why Halacha Tezayin, which is covered V'yonig, that applies both to Shabbos and Yontif. Halacha was it Yud Zayin, only applies to Yontif. It doesn't apply to Shabbos. And the Rambam formulates the chiv of Simcha on Yontif as Chayav Adam Lias Behem Sameach V'tov Liv. So again, whereas covered V'yonig applies to both Shabbos and Yontif, the mitzvah of Lias Behem the Sameach V'tov Liv is Samach that only applies to Yontif. Now it's really fascinating because when the Rambam calculates in Halacha Yud Zayin the days of Simcha, he includes Chol HaMoed. For example, he says Shiva Simei Pesach. That includes Chol HaMoed. In Halacha Tezayin, it says Yomim Tovim, and he doesn't mention Chol HaMoed. One second. Right, it says V'chol Yomim Tovim Nemar Bahem Nikra Kodesh. So the Rambam Halacha Tezayin extends the obligation of Kovid V'Oneg of Shabbos to Yontif, because Yontif is also called Nikra Kodesh, but he nowhere indicates that this requirement applies even on Chol HaMoed. When he gets to Halacha Yud Zayin,
yeah,
and he dedicates himself to the mitzvah of Simcha, here he goes out of his way to include Chol HaMoed. So it sounds like on Chol HaMoed there's a mitzvah of Simcha, but there's no mitzvah of Kibud V'Onik. And then we get to Halacha Yud Zayin, and the Rambam says that Zayin Yimei HaPesach, Shmoni Yimei HaChag, meaning including Chol HaMoed, are all included in the mitzvah of Simcha. So we see clearly that he includes the mitzvah of Simcha as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned. He went out of his way to establish that. But as far as Kibud V'Oneg, we're not sure that he would include Chol HaMoed, because he just mentions Yomim Tovim and he calls him Mikrai Kodesh. I'm not sure if Mikrai Kodesh would apply in the Rambam's frame of reference to Chol HaMoed as well. In Kainira, the Kavan de Bishabis, Kolachiv Lechol Pas, Eno Mitam Simchal, Mitam Kibiv Yonig, Lekvoa Suda Lechem. In Kainye Shlomo de Gam de Yontif, Midin Simcha, Hayasagi Bibosar Viyayin. So again, when we get to Shabbos, we have a mitzvah of Kovid Vionik. And Oneg generates a Chiv of Kvia Suda Lepas. When we get to Yontif, we don't have a mitzvah of Kibud V'Oneg on Chol HaMoed. We only have a mitzvah of Kibud V'Oneg on Mikrei Kodesh, on Yontif itself. So as far as Yontif is concerned, the din of Simcha would be a din of Basa V'Yayin. Just one second. Chol HaMoed after Ika Chiv Simcha, give me a minute here, is Mikomakom Ein Chiv Lechol Pas. Oh, very good. Chol HaMoed has no Chiv Pas because in Chol HaMoed there's no Kibud V'Oneg. The Rambam says only Mikrei Kodesh, which means only Yontif. When we get to Simcha, and Simcha now it has nothing to do with Sudas Pas, it has to do with just Achilas Bas and Shsius Yayin, now we can exclude Chol HaMoed.
Include Chol HaMoed. In Simcha?
No, what I'm saying is that as far as Kibud V'Oneg, which means Kvia Suda,
right, that's only
Mikrei Kodesh, and we have no Chiv Suuda according to the Rambam on Chol HaMoed. When we get to Simcha,
then it is included.
Right, because Simcha means Bas V'Yayin. So what do I have to do on Chol HaMoed? Do I have to be Kvia Suda and wash on a pas?
No.
The answer is no. All I have to do is eat basar and drink wine, because that's the mitzvah of Simcha, which applies to Chol HaMoed as well. And now the nafkamina is going to be, what happens if he benches on Chol HaMoed and he omits Yalav Yovo? He would not have to repeat benching because he never had a Chiv Suda on Chol HaMoed. And as far as Achilles Basar said, Simcha and Shtiyas Yayin, he can be Yotze with Bar Nefashos, right? He says on the top left column, came in the ein achilus pas toli b'simcha. Now, simcha doesn't generate a chiyuv seuda. All it is yayin and basar. Yesh lo medi ein nashim chayavos b'mitzvahs achilus pas b'yontiv. Davi mitzvah seishas mein groma. So Rabbi Kivega wants to suggest that women are not obligated in achilus pas to be koveh seuda on yontiv, because it's a mitzvah seishas mein groma. Therefore, if she forgot to mention Yalav Yovu in benching, she doesn't have to repeat Pirkas HaMazon. So we see clearly from Rabbi Kivega that the chiv to be Ochel Pas, to set up a Suda, is not because of Simchas Yantiv, but rather because of Kibud V'Yonet. And therefore it makes sense that according to the Marshal, that a person is obligated to eat Pas on Yantiv, Mishum Simcha, it must be that he shoppers over the gam bepurim came to chayv v'mishnu v'simcha chayv lechol pas. So now we get back to the machlokas between the marshal and the Magen Avraham. The marshal says that on Purim you have to be koveh seuda. And why is that so? L'chora, it's not going to be derived from simcha, because we said simcha on yantiv doesn't require a chiv of seuda; it only requires bas of yayin. So when the marshal says that you have to eat pas biyantiv mishum simcha, he's apparently rejecting this entire premise of Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega holds that the mitzvah of simcha does not include seuda; it's only bas of yayin. The marshal has all the right to disagree with Rabbi Kivega. It was hundreds of years before Rabbi Kivega, but he assumes that as far as simcha is concerned, you have to be koveh seuda. That's not the way we interpreted the Rama. And if that be the case, then when we get to Purim, where Purim is also a mitzvah of simcha, you're going to have to set up a seuda, and you have to eat pas. And therefore, if he left out Al Nisim in Birkas HaMazon, he's going to have to repeat Birkas HaMazon. So that's all according to the Marshal. So again, according to Marshal, against Rabbi Kivega, simcha generates a chiyuv seuda, and that would apply on Purim as well. And therefore, if he omits al anisim, he's going to have to repeat benching. Ulam, this is a new paragraph. Hamagen Avraham solved Rabbi Kivega, and therefore, according to the Rush, according to the Magen Avraham and the Rabbi Kivega, the obligation to eat pas only derives from kibud v'yonig; it doesn't derive from simcha. And if on Purim there is no chiyuv of oneg or kibud, is therefore all he's left with is a chiyuv of mishta v'simcha. But mishta v'simcha doesn't require him to be koveh seud al pas. Mikom came to belav hachi mikra kodesh. V'yontiv eino chai v'kovi v'yonit. Right? Because according to Magen Avraham, like Rabbi Kivega, there's no chiv of kibud v'yonig on yontiv because of simcha, but only because of kibud v'yonig. So there's no chiv to be koveh suda on yontiv as simcha, right? Qua simcha, but rather there's a chiyuv to be koveh suda because of kibud v'yonig, and that only applies on yontif itself and not on chol hamoed. And now, when we apply this to Purim, Purim is only simcha. Purim doesn't have kibud v'yonig. So if Purim doesn't have kibud v'yonig, you don't have to be koveh suda. What are you left with? You're left with simcha. Okay, what's the deal as far as simcha is concerned? The answer is he could be yotzei with basar v'yayin. So the nafkamina is going to be, says the Magen Avraham, that if simcha is fulfilled with basar v'yayin and doesn't generate a chiyuv seuda, that's only in kovid v'yonik, then on Purim, if you omit al anisim, you don't have to repeat birkas hamazon. And the reason for that is because there's no chiyuv to be koveh seuda on Purim, because all Purim has is simcha, and simcha never generated a chiyuv of koveh seuda. Now, if you take a look in the Marshal, which is on the bottom of the left column here on Reish Lamed Ches, he writes the Chachamim Asmechua LeMishta V'Simcha DePurim Akra. He invokes a sugya in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, which seems to equate Purim with Yontif. And the pasuk there says, "La Yehudim Aisaora v'Simcha," and Chazal dashes on Reish Lamed Tes, "Simcha Zuhi Yontif." So the Marshal is now quoting a sugya at the end of the first parak of Megillah, and he says logically it would seem that this mitzvah of simcha applies to, just 1 second, somebody in the Yontif Mamish. Again, this is from a different pasuk. Like Yehudim Aysa Orav Simcha Simcha Zu Yantif. So this is a basis for the Marashal, because again, the Marashal wants to assume that just like there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Yantif, there's also a parallel mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, and that we can derive from this pasuk, like Yehudim Aysa Orav Simcha, meaning that Purim has the same status of Yantif vis-a-vis Simcha is concerned. And if there's a mitzvah of simcha, according to Marshal, simcha requires that you be koveh pas, and therefore if you omit al anisim, you have to repeat Pirkas HaMazon, in conscious with the Magen Avraham, that simcha, as we developed in the Rambam, only applies to bas of a yayin, and doesn't include and encompass a chiyuv of pas of kviyas sud, and therefore according to Magen Avraham, if you omit al anisim in benching, you don't repeat benching. So let's make a note of where we got to today, so that we can believe that we'll finish this tomorrow. And that's Reish Lamed Tes, the paragraph that starts Behine, because from now on he's going back to the Rambam. And until now he mentioned the Rambam, and it was, you know, the indication in the Rambam would be that Oneg and Kavod only applies to Mikrei Kodesh; it doesn't apply to Chol HaMoed. Whereas Simcha, the Rambam explicitly says, applies even to Chol HaMoed. So that's what we quoted until now. But the most exciting part of this essay starts now with the words Vehine. I was hoping to get to it today, but I think I'm going to botch it up if I start pushing it now at this late hour. So let me wish everyone a great day. And if it was Purim, I would tell you, don't forget Al Anisim.
We said earlier that we're equating Simchas Yomtov with Purim.
Yeah.
So we said that, you know, this is just a general question. Simchas Yomtov is so great that it trumps the thing of the Vedas.
Right, because it's a mitzvah Aseh Deravim, and Avelis is only an Aseh Deyom.
Why only by Yomtov, not by Shabbos and Purim?
Well, first of all, as far as Shabbos is concerned, there is no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. Again, if you're a chassid, then you'll say there's a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. But if you're a litvak, you'll say no, there's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. So what trumps avelus? It's got to be simcha. Simcha and avelus are mutually exclusive. But there's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. Now we get to Purim. So what's going to be the law as far as an Avel on Purim? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that there really is no Avelus on Purim. We would have to take that up as a separate topic, because I don't want you to quote me.
There's no Avelus
on Purim, but
okay, I don't know about the Avelus.
It doesn't stop the Avelus, it goes back to Avelus on the next day.
Ah, that's interesting. Yeah, in other words, Regal is Mevatel Shiva, why doesn't Purim Mevatel Shiva? But in any event, let's say, for example, the Shulchan Aruch passes at an Onen who's not allowed to drink wine or eat meat will do so on Purim,
right,
because of the special nature of Simchas Purim, and the Shulchan Aruch says it's Midivrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Kabbalah is even more powerful than Divrei Torah, and we make a chizuk on Divrei Kabbalah, and therefore, to the same extent that Yontif, Simchas Yontif will trump Avelus, then Simchas Purim will certainly, with the Kavach Chomer, trump Avelus. That's paradoxical, because Purim is on a lower level than Yom Tov, right. But nevertheless, since it's Midirei Kabbalah, that jacks it up to a higher level. Okay then, so we'll take a break. And,